going to move into the Q&A session. We don't have a lot of time, but we want to get at least one question for Todd, for Crystal, for the Elevate Energy folks combined, and for Marilyn combined. So I would like to remind everyone that if we didn't get to your question, we will provide written answers to those and post those on our website along with the audio files and the PowerPoints. That should take a couple of weeks. So I'm going to turn it over back over to Wendy Jaglom to facilitate the Q&A session.
Great. Thanks, Victoria. So the first question is for Todd, and the question is, can cities get financing for efficiency for multifamily housing?
Can cities get financing? I'm sorry, the question again?
Sure, yeah. So it's, the question is, can cities get financing for efficiency for multifamily housing?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are programs out there that allow cities to apply for funding to help them develop programs. I think even, you know, DOE through some of their funding programs are, you know, geared towards cities. So I certainly think there are funding sources out there that could be used. I'm not an expert on what those are, but I would suggest maybe focusing on what DOE has to offer.
Great. Thank you, Todd. The next question is for Crystal, and the question is, does HUD provide energy efficiency assistance to non-HUD-sponsored buildings, and what are they?
Sure. So multifamily building owners can join the Better Buildings Challenge regardless of if they receive HUD funding and receive many of the benefits of being in the Better Buildings Challenge partnership. That said, specific opportunities of technical assistance and waivers and things like that are limited to HUD-assisted properties.
Okay, great. Thank you. So the next question is for Angelina and Peter from Elevate Energy. And the question is, what are the best technologies for making an impact in electrical efficiency today? Most affordable, stable, accessible, et cetera?
So I guess the question was, what are the best technologies for impacting electrical energy efficiency?
That's right.
Okay. Well, I guess there's a couple of ways of looking at that question. I mean, I think if you're looking at it from a whole building perspective, if it's a building that, say, has electric heat and electric cooling, you know, there might be some opportunities to both look at certain retrofit technologies, you know, more efficient heat pumps, better controls, lighting controls, things like that, that would just have a direct impact on consumption. I think you can also try to address kind of what the peak demand of the building is and whether you can lower that in order to put the customer in a better financial position with respect to their with their bills. So I don't know that there's that I know of any one particular technology. Usually when we go into a property, we're looking at sort of what the existing conditions are, what are the opportunities to make improvements, and then we're sort of trying to filter those through cost, payback, what's practical. As our speakers from Maryland mentioned, a lot of times certain retrofits aren't practical because they involve a lot of additional construction work that the budget can't support. So I think that's kind of been our approach. And I'm not sure if I'm answering the question in the way that it was intended, but I'd be happy to follow up kind of offline if that's helpful.
Great, thank you. So the next question is for Bill and Scott from Maryland. You mentioned that owners weren't as interested in grants, especially if they had done the financing themselves in the past. Why?
If you get a grant, what that does is literally reduces the amount of tax benefit to the outside investors that have put money into the transaction. So what we've done is structured them at what's called cash flow loans. So it's still technically a loan. It doesn't negate the benefit of the tax credits that have been sold for these properties, But the idea that we're going to get repaid on these things it would take an awful lot of income to income-strapped developments for them to actually repay it. So it's a matter of structuring it. And that's part of the knowledge and the sensitivities that you need to have when you're going into these things.
Great, thank you. Victoria, shall we wrap it up?
Yes. To the audience, thanks for your questions. I'm sorry we couldn't get to all of them, but as you can tell, our speakers had a lot of great information to share in their presentations. But again, these will be available. The answered questions, the PowerPoints, and the audio files at our state and local climate website on EPA's website in a couple of weeks. I want to thank Crystal, Todd, Peter, Angelina, Scott, and Bill for speaking and giving such great presentations and working so hard on this issue. EPA hopes that through this webcast series, as well as some other products we're working on, highlighting case studies of successful programs for bringing clean energy to low-income communities. We hope that this is increasing the dialogue on this topic and helping to share some success in this hard sector to reach. So stay tuned for more information about future webcasts as well as these case studies that I mentioned and other products. And thank you again for joining us today. Hope you have a good rest of the day. Thanks.
Thank you. This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect.